Morning. Any students, teachers, staff, ready to go back to school tomorrow? Yes. I see shaking heads. That's my daughter, though. So I am ready when I go home for lunch to have my house be quiet. So I'm excited for school to start. That has nothing to do with anything. All right. Well, guys, we are in our fourth and final week of our subject called Jesus is the Subject. If you're a guest here today, we spent the last 3 weeks and today our fourth week talking about how Jesus is the subject of the universe, of creation. Everything was created through Him. Your life was created for Jesus. Jesus is the subject of our church. He is why we are here and do what we do and nothing else. Amen? And Jesus came to seek and save those that were lost. He came to speak truth. He came full of grace and truth. And so we, the last 3 weeks and again today, have read from the Church of God, from the website, this statement about Jesus, which I think is very, very, very solid. It says, Jesus is the very product of God's love. He is the Son of God and the second person in the Trinity. Born of a virgin, Jesus is fully human and fully God. More than 2,000 years ago, He walked the earth and radically changed the culture around Him. As the perfect sacrifice, He willingly endured a shameful death on a cross, taking upon Himself the punishment that we deserve for our sins. 3 days following His death, He was raised to life again, neutralizing the power of sin and death over our lives. Those who accept Jesus Christ as Savior are no longer bound by the power of sin and have an eternity waiting for them in heaven. As our Lord, He calls us to personal and cultural transformation. Taking on the likeness of Christ, we seek to change the world through the love of God and offer the hope of Christ to all. Jesus is the reason we exist. Jesus is the center of what we do. Jesus makes all the difference. Amen. So we have been through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and so today we'll be in John if you have your Bibles. But we also, the last few weeks, have read this statement from Colossians that says it's Jesus in through whom we have redemption. It's through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus all things were created, whether in heaven, earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. In Him all things consist, and in Him we have fullness of life. So Jesus is the subject of all creation, all the universe, and of our lives. He's the subject, the reason we exist. 3 weeks ago from Matthew, we asked the question, who do you say Jesus is? And this is something you answer every day in your life by how you live your life. Who's Jesus? Is He something that I do on Sunday? Is He someone I believe in and I definitely want to go to heaven, not hell? Or is He the Lord and Savior of your life? Is He the reason you exist? Is He, when you go to work, do you work unto the Lord and not unto man? Do you do things to bring Him glory? Do you love and forgive people? Jesus and what you think of Him will determine the type of spouse that you are, the type of parent, the type of friend, the type of church member. Who do you say Jesus is? And 2 weeks ago, in Mark, we reminded ourselves that we are to leverage everything in our lives, the suffering, all the bad, even all the good, but especially the tough times for God's glory, that we can trust God. We know there's a purpose. We know there's a reason for the unanswered prayer, for the suffering, for the patience that we have to have. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And last week from Luke, we talked about that Jesus came to bring good news. He came to preach the gospel. He came to proclaim the greatest news of all time. He came to bring sight to the blind. And we reminded ourselves of how blind our culture and our world are to God right now. The things of God, good things, love, family, values, the truth of God's Word, there's a blindness. And if you were here last week, I challenge you to take one person in your life who doesn't know Jesus and to pray for them, to fast for them, to engage them, and to be committed to this until they come to know Jesus. So if you weren't here last week, today, pick someone in your life who doesn't know Jesus, who isn't right now going to heaven, and pray for them, and fast for them, and engage them with your life. And if you right now are sitting here today, and you're like, I was here last week, I didn't do that, I'm a little about it today, you need to repent and ask God to change your heart. This is serious. You'll have a time to come and pray before we leave today. If you're in a spot in life where you're so caught up in life, you're so caught up in yourself, things are so bad that you can't even see straight, or things are so good that you don't care, you need to get on your knees because God blesses the repentant. And Jesus came to rescue, redeem, and restore the repentant, not the selfish. Are you engaging? Are you praying for? And are you fasting for that person that God put on your heart last week? And if you weren't here, now's your chance to think of that person in your life. Because guys, remember, Jesus is the anointed one, amen? But you are the appointed one. That's right. you're appointed. If you're a Christian, if you're going to heaven, if you love Jesus, your job, you are appointed to go into the world and seek those that are lost, to make disciples, to care. So today we're going to talk about John. We're going to be in John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles today or whatever app you might use, we're going to talk about the Gospel of John. Now, John was written to the broadest audience of all the Gospels. John was written to encourage the church. The church had already started, began to grow. John was written the latest of the four Gospels. And if you look at the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's about a 90-95% commonality, meaning stuff that was mentioned in Mark was mentioned in Matthew and Luke. Very similar, very common. Now, John doesn't certainly contradict anything, but about 90% of what John wrote about was unique to the Gospel of John. He was writing to the world. He was writing to the church. He was writing to a broader audience. And there's a big emphasis in the Gospel of John on faith, on the word believe. It's actually used 98 times in the Gospel of John because that's huge. Because if you're here this morning and you say you believe in Christ, you believe in God, you're a believer, that will show in your life. That will show consistently in your life. I hear so much from this world who is lost and dying and without and blind to the things of God. Most people I talk to believe in God, but their life doesn't show any proof of that. Their life doesn't show any fruitfulness. Their life doesn't show this. But if you truly believe in Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as your Lord and Savior, it will show in your life. It'll show in our lives. It's used the word believe 98 times in John. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believe in Him. But to believe just doesn't mean to believe that He is. It means so much more than that. So we're going to be in John chapter 1 today. Verses 14 through 17 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning Him. Now, not John who wrote the book of John, but John the Baptist, John the Baptizer. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me. Out of His fullness, out of Jesus' fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Hallelujah. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning in Jesus' name. And Lord God, I pray that right now, nobody would see Micah up here because I don't matter. You matter, Lord. This is about You. This is about Your Word. This is about what You want to do in the lives of us here today that are listening and will respond to this message. So Lord, may the people, Heavenly Father, and all of us here today forget about last week, forget about the week ahead, and right now, Lord, love and respect You enough to open our hearts and open our ears and give You these just brief moments to hear Your Word and let it sink in and to respond to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. So the Word is Jesus. And so why in the world do we nonstop harp about being in the Word of God here at the Church of God? Because to know Jesus, to love Jesus, is to be in the Word, is to have the Word of God, the Bible, as the foundation for your life. And if you sit here today and you say, I'm a Christian, but I don't really read the Word, it's guidelines don't guide my life. I disagree with some of it. You don't know and love Jesus. I'm not trying to come down on anybody, but you can't shut the Word of God out of your life and say, but I love the Lord. The beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus. To know Jesus is to be in God's Word. It's to love it. It's to for it to be the foundation of our lives. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus coming to the world in human form. The Word became flesh. One of the translations says that Jesus came and He pitched His tent among us. Jesus moved into the neighborhood. And He did that for you because He loves you. And every time I read that, I'm challenged about, guys, wherever you live, and don't tell me you live in the country, not an excuse. I don't have neighbors. Do your neighbors think of you as having moved into the neighborhood? Do they look at you and do they know that you're a follower of Jesus? Do they know that you're a Christian? Do they know what you're about? Because that should be the case when you love Jesus, engaging people and engaging community. And the most important place that Jesus will dwell if we are surrendered and we are followers of Him is He will dwell in our heart and in our lives. I love the book of John. If someone is new to faith or if someone came to you as a Christian and said, I'm a brand new Christian, I've never read the Bible, what's the gospel you tell them to read? Nothing. Great. All right. Turn some lights up. I don't know. You tell them John, right? I tell people read Proverbs, read the Psalms, but read Romans, but read, okay, thanks. Read John. But sometimes we're wrong. You guys know, if we're going to tell someone to read John, they should start with verse 19. Because John 1:19 says, now this is the testimony of John. John 1 through 18 isn't going to make a lot of sense if you've never read the Bible. You're going to be like, what's this? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What is this? And talking about the law and all these things, I don't understand that. So really, read John 1:19 through the end, and then go back to John chapter 1. Because it talks about Jesus reflecting God. That He is the exact representation of the Father. Then we're told that He came full of grace and truth. And then John goes back to it because this is really important. In Jesus we see that He is full of grace and truth, and they are perfectly married. Verses 16 and 17, out of His fullness we've all received grace in place of grace already given. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And this is really a very important point. It doesn't say the law doesn't matter. Because if you kind of read that, you're like, well, then what good is the law? The law reveals, and if you're like, what's the law? Read the Old Testament, guys. You've got to be reading your Bible. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to be in Bible study, Sunday school. It's important. The law was simply God's requirements and expectations for mankind. But the law also revealed mankind's shortcomings, our shortcomings. The law reveals how much you and I need grace, how much we need Jesus. If you aren't sure of that, you feel like I'm a great Christian, I don't live in sin, none of us should, go read the law again and tell me if you want to follow that. Because forget it, we can't measure up. We can't possibly meet God's expectations. And the law simply reveals how much we need God's grace. Even the law of grace, even the New Testament requirements, we fall short. If you don't do good, literally every chance you get, you sin and fall short. If you ever have a bad thought, say something you shouldn't. Some have real even struggles that are more obvious. We fall short and are so in need of God's grace. But if we aren't in God's Word, realizing how short we fall and that we can never make it, I don't think, fully appreciate God's grace. And you who are churchgoers, and us who are churchgoers, it's much easier to take for granted the grace we've received, the grace that we need. Because we should be living lives that are looking more like Christ and are good and are selfless and are holy, and where we don't go out and commit a bunch of crazy sinful acts. But then we run the danger of beginning to think that we're really something. But what we really need is grace in place of grace already given. Amen. Hallelujah. That Jesus, that's what He's about. We need grace. And the more that we recognize and realize how desperate we are in need of God's grace, the more we can freely give it. And there begins the problem. We begin to think we're something, and we aren't very graceful to others when we see them struggle, because we're like, what is wrong with you? Shame on us if we feel that way. We are in need of God's grace. And Jesus is the subject of grace. He's the perfect image, the perfect marriage of grace and truth, as we should be as well. You know, you see what the church does. Sometimes we get so grace, 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 and then we all know truth and law, and this is how our life should look. When really right in the middle is just right, and that's what Jesus was. He was full of grace and truth. And so you, if you're a believer, there should be no perpetual sin in your life. There shouldn't be something that you continue to do that you just know is wrong. There should be God's Word as your foundation, but yet you're still imperfect, and so you should be relentless in giving grace to others. Your life should be about others, and your life should bear fruit. To go back to our first statement, that we should have personal and cultural transformation. What's the personal transformation look like in your life right now today? Are you becoming more Christ-like? Are you becoming dead to yourself? More Christ-like means more engaged with others, more engaged with sinners, more engaged and connected with one another, in God's Word more, in love with Him more. That's what it means to have that personal transformation. And the cultural transformation. I don't believe that the church in general in the world, there's great impact, great things going on, but let's talk about us. We do some good things, but we need to have more cultural transformation in Hoopston, Illinois. Hence the reboot posters everywhere. We'll talk about that before we leave today. Jesus is the subject. And John, to go forward to the last chapter in John, the last chapter of all the Gospels, John kind of sums this up when he's talking to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And so you can just put your name in there this morning. Do you love Jesus? Then feed His sheep. And he goes on, he does this three times to bring the point home. Because Peter's kind of like, well, Lord, he's like, stop. If you love Jesus, serve others. Forget you and serve others. Serve. Be a part. And then we're going to have lots of chances to do that coming up, but you'll have a chance before you leave today to sign up to serve for something that we are in need of. And so, if you love me, Jesus says, feed my sheep. And in John chapter 21, this kind of sums it up. But to go back one to John chapter 20, we kind of see a summary here and a wrapping up of things as well. In John 20 and verse 30, it says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. It alludes to all the other Gospels. And it reminds us that 33 years Jesus was on earth, and the fact that he was before the beginning of time, and he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's coming back. We can't even begin to touch his glory or all the things he did while he was on earth. Just like God's love for you is limitless. It's beyond your wildest dreams and imagination. Jesus is eternal. He is full of grace and truth. He loves you so much. So why do we hold our life back from him? Because verse 31 tells us this. It says, these are written, these things here in the Bible are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the believing you may have life in his name. The only life is found through Jesus, who always was, who is, and always will be. And the fact that he loved you and he died for you and he took your place. Life is in him and him alone. The point of existence is to come to faith in Christ, to have a relationship with God that you were created for. And if you're here today and you haven't made Jesus the subject of your life, you'll have a chance to before you leave. And it's not time to squirm. It's time to be like, maybe I want to take that step. Because if you haven't, you're missing out on life full and abundant. And you're risking missing life eternal. For what? Life is all about Jesus, guys. Jesus is the subject. Jesus is the subject of the church. And with that in mind, I want to take a few moments and just, I want to talk a little bit about what is reboot. We've talked about that this fall. Now, I'm when it comes to technology, I'm not real great. And so anytime I have a problem with anything, I just turn it off or unplug it, turn it back on. It works 90% of the time. And it's inevitable, anytime the wireless is out, we call Frontier and you're on hold for 45 minutes, the first thing they tell you to do, well, unplug it, please, and wait 1 minute. And it almost always works, and so I don't even call anymore, I just unplug it, and it works. Same with my computer. Now, I don't have a lot of problems with my computer because I have a MacBook, but now my PC at home is garbage, and I have to reboot it. A little joke there. We have one holdout on staff here who just doesn't want to go to Apple stuff, but we'll get them. We'll get them. Anyway, that's right. It is more expensive. But I turn my computer off and back on again. And it almost always works. And you know, the Bible says that we are to judge ourselves lest we be judged. And it also tells us that we should constantly be evaluating what we do. And so, guys, let's be honest. In 2016, in Hoopston, Illinois, is Hoopston pretty lost?
Yes.
Do a lot of people, the vast majority of people, not come to church? They can't give God an hour on Sunday? Seriously? Are there any churches in Hoopston, including us, that are really growing and just rocking it right now? No, we're not. We're healthy. I love y'all. We have a great church. But I don't believe we're fully reaching our potential of being the church in Hoopston, Illinois and surrounding. And so therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to reboot everything we do. We're going to look at everything we do. And there's going to be changes. I know that's a scary word. Because I believe what we're doing as a church is too important to not do our best. And I know one thing right now. We are not near as connected and engaged with each other and with our community as we should be. Amen to that. We're just not. We've become disconnected. We have lots of excuses and reasons why. And we're not engaging our community as much as we should. And so one of the things we're going to be doing is going to a culture where if this is your church, you're going to be expected to be part of a small group. I mean, seriously, you're going to be expected from the top down. Because when we get through this campaign, and I see if you're not, I'm going to give you a call and say, hey, what's up? This is too important, guys. We don't have a system in place. What are you called to do as a follower of Jesus? You're called to go and make disciples. We can't make disciples if we're not being discipled like we should. And we really systematically aren't right now. And this is about being able to encourage and exhort and rebuke one another as well. This is important. And so what if all of us right now said, I will be part of a group, a small group of 10 or 12 people. We'll meet once a week. We'll share life together. And what if every group in this church was expected to even once every 6 months do an outreach or a service project in Hoopston? We'd have 3 or 4 projects going on every month in Hoopston, Illinois from this church. Outreach, going out and engaging our culture, serving them, going out and telling them about Jesus and about the church. You think we would have an impact? Hallelujah. I think we would do, and we would be doing much better than we are right now. And so this is going to be something we're going to be doing. You're going to be hearing a lot about. You're going to see a lot more material. We're going to be preaching about it the next 6 or 8 weeks. I mean, guys, what if I told you that Jesus were coming back and no one knows? What if I told you we had 1 year? We have 1 year and he's coming back. I would hope the urgency that we would have to reach our world and reach our community and reach our neighbors for Jesus Christ and tell them the message to repent and be saved. That every knee will bow, every tongue confess, and that eternity is on its way. I would hope we would be serious about what we were doing. That we would show them that Jesus is the subject of our lives. He's the reason we exist. He's the reason why the church is here. We mentioned a couple weeks ago, don't come Sunday as a moral band-aid. Come Sunday because you love Jesus. And because you want to learn more about how you can serve Him. And He tells us, the Son of Man came to seek and save those that are lost. And so that's our call. That's what this church is about. And we need to do a better job. Because guys, when Jesus is the subject of our lives, hell can't stop us. There will be salvation. There will be abundance. There will be redemption. There will be reconciliation. I have heard so many times in 6 years, Hoopston needs revival. Revival will happen when we connect with each other and we go into the world. Amen. And we do a little bit of it. We need to do a lot better. And it's top down. I take full responsibility. And so God has put on my heart, and God has confirmed with others in the church, and God has confirmed time and time again that this is of Him. And you guys, if you're looking to a place just to come Sunday and nothing more, keep coming, but we're going to be more than that. And I want to tell you something else. I'm going to need the respect for you to understand that your pastor is telling you you need to be part of a life group. So that we can impact our culture. So that we won't stand before Him someday and He'll say, why didn't you do it? Look who we didn't reach because we wouldn't do this. I've been part of some... When I first regave my life to Christ, it was through my small group that my faith went from, I believe He exists and I want to follow Him, to not only am I called into ministry, this is what life is all about. Sharing it with one another, serving each other, serving our community, connecting. I was hesitant at first, but I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the small group in my life. And that's just a true story. But guys, as we close this series, and I just wanted to mention that for a minute or two, what we're going to do right now, in a moment we're going to play the video in just 1 second, we'll turn the lights off, whatever. This is about a 9-minute video that I came across this week that I think sums up Jesus as the subject. It talks about the book of John, and it's a 9-minute video, and during this time I want you to remain prayerful. Please don't be talking. The altar will be open if you would like to come and pray. And there's even an opportunity during this video for you to say basically the sinner's prayer and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, you can do that from your seat today by agreeing and praying along with this. And if you do that, I want to see you after service. But during this time, the altar will be open if you'd like to come and pray. And it's just a great close to our Jesus is the Subject series about Jesus being the subject of everything and who He is. And so let's take this time to be prayerful and respond if God puts on your heart at your seat, at the altar, whatever it is. Let's pray before we start the video. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name right now, I pray You would take this time in our lives, these few minutes, and Lord God, may we have open hearts. And I, in Jesus' name, Lord, know there are some here today, right now, Lord, their mind is not going to let their heart be open. Their life situation, their comfort, their emotions, they're closed off, and the answer is no. Lord God, right now, I pray You would break that in Jesus' name. Amen.